Hello and welcome to The Cryptid Catalog, a podcast for monster lovers young and old. Before we jump in, I want to mention some of the themes in today's story. Cryptid Catalog tries to cover stories in a kid-friendly manner, but every listener has different thresholds. So to make sure this story is suitable for your listeners, here are some things that you can expect to hear in today's story. Today's show contains attempted murder and the dangers of the internet. If all that sounds intriguing, then sit back, get a little cozy, and come with us as we open up the Cryptid Catalog. Killian, picture this. The room in the mansion you find yourself in is covered in dust, cobwebs, and the smell of clothes that have been left outside in the rain.
Common.
Shh. Just beyond the boarded up window, you hear the sound of someone talking. You walk across the splintered and creaking floorboards and look down to see the snow-covered forest that encircles the old mansion. Standing at the edge of the tree line is a girl in a bright red jacket. She is frantically talking and looking all over the place like she can't quite sort out where the person she's talking to is. You can't make out exactly what she's saying, but you can tell she's getting frustrated. She stomps her foot and then points to the mansion. Without warning, you see him. The tall figure of a man dressed in all black, his face smooth and white, reaches out his long arms and wraps his massive spider-like hand around the girl, pulling her back into the snow. Her sudden shriek is cut short. Killian, what is this creature?
Slenderman.
It is Slenderman. Let's open up the Cryptid Catalog and find out more. Killian, are you excited for today's episode? You made the dogs freak out with that. Are you excited?
Ah!
Is that an excited roar growl?
No, I was trying to make it creepy.
Oh, I'm so sorry. But are you excited?
Yes.
Okay. I know you love Slender Man, so let's thank our friend Hendrix for the suggestion.
Slender Man, Hendrix, Slender Man, Hendrix.
Hey, thank you, Hendrix. All right. So, Killian, can you tell us about, tell us what you know about the infamous Slender Man?
So, I know a lot about Slender Man.
Let's give, a brief synopsis.
He's came from the internet, and he's also not real, so...
Don't blow the surprise, Killian.
God's sakes, he's not.
Well, do you want me to go ahead and tell you some more?
Yes.
Even though I'm pretty sure you know all this information, but I'll still tell you.
Yeah.
So let's start with what our friend...
It's for the sake of the listeners.
For the sake of the listeners, in case they don't know about Slender Man. So let's start with what our friend Slender Man looks like. He is depicted as thin, unnaturally tall, and humanoid, with a featureless white head and face, wearing a black suit. In some stories, he has tentacles that spill out of his back. When it comes to cryptids and folklore, Slender Man is a very recent addition to our global spooky mythos.
Just like Siren Head.
Correct. So, do you know where Slender Man came from?
Creepypasta.
Perfect. So, yes, the Slender Man was created on June 10th, 2009, on a thread in the Something Awful Internet Forum. A thread is just, a post on the internet that people can, comment on and, add things.
Yeah.
So the thread was a Photoshop contest where users were challenged to, quote, create paranormal images. Do you know what Photoshop is?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. If listeners don't know, Photoshop I was trying to think of a software. The word I was looking for was software. Is a software where you could take pictures and you can erase things from the images, or you can add things to the images. You can change the colors, the depth, all that kind of stuff. A lot of photographers use them, but also people can use them to create new images, like what someone did with Slender Man. So the forum poster, Eric Knudsen, under the pen name Victor Surge, contributed two black and white images of groups of children, to which he added a tall, thin, spectral figure wearing a black suit. Although previous entries had consisted solely of photographs, Surge added to his submission with bits of text, supposedly from witnesses, describing the abductions of the groups of children and giving the character the name The Slender Man.
It's kind of a good name for because slender means like very skinny.
That is true. So the quote under the first photograph read, "We didn't want to go. We didn't want to kill them. But its persistent silence and outstretched arms horrified and comforted us at the same time." And then underneath it said, 1983, photographer unknown, presumed dead. The quote under the second photograph read, One of two recovered photographs from the Sterling City Library blaze, notable for being taken the day 14 children vanished, and for what is referred to as the Slender Man. Deformities cited as film defects by officials. A fire at the library occurred 1 week later. The actual photograph was confiscated as evidence. And then under it said 1986. Photographer Mary Thomas, missing since June 13th, 1986.
So three years after the taking of those children, it was another taking of children.
Right. Good job. So the additions of text effectively transformed the photographs into a work of fiction, a story. Almost immediately, the internet went crazy. This was also the same year that creepypasta websites and forums started taking off. Do you remember what a creepypasta is?
Creepypasta is like something where like they post creepy pictures online from actual pictures,
or they write creepy stories, right?
Yeah,
right. So that's where we got
made a creepypasta.
Yes, Killian has made creepypastas on Google Docs.
Mm-hmm. Google Docs.
Mm-hmm. So the official definition of a creepypasta is a horror-related legend that has been shared around the internet. The term creepypasta has since become a catch-all term for any horror content posted on the internet. These entries are often brief, user-created paranormal stories intended to scare readers. We have also talked about creepypasta before on our Siren Head episode, so you already mentioned that. And we even mentioned Slender Man on that episode because he is one of the most well-known creatures coming from the internet. It is important to note that creepypastas are not real stories, but are written in a way to make them feel like real experiences. Within the world of creepypastas, readers are encouraged to take the creators, situations, and monsters and make them their own and then add to the mythos of the horrors. This all requires writers and readers to, quote, suspend their belief. Have you heard that phrase before, suspend their belief? Do you know what that means?
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean?
So it means like they're taking away their belief of Siren Head or something.
That was a good guess. It's not correct, but it was a very good guess based on what those words mean. According to Webster, it's the ability to allow oneself to believe that something is true, even though it seems impossible. It's just a fancy way of saying that you're playing pretend. It's important to remember that these stories are fake and not real. Slender Man is a horror story built to scare you, and he's not real, but we suspend our belief. And because we want to be scared sometimes and we want to read these interesting stories and get a little creeped out. So even if they seem impossible, we pretend they're real.
And also, even if you don't think it's scary, just
let other people be scared by it.
Yeah, because a lot of people, like some people are like, they have nightmares for days.
Right.
But some kids, they won't have nightmares at all because they are fearless, like mm-hmm. this guy.
I would not call you fearless, but you're pretty close.
No, like fearless of reading.
Like, so for some people, believing that Nessie and Bigfoot and all these cryptids are real is hard for them. But other people choose to suspend their belief and they say, you know what? Even if it seems impossible, I believe it. I want to believe it. And that's what it is. who let people believe that. Mm-hmm. Yep. So I bring this up because it's important to note that Slender Man is not real because something really bad happened centering around Slender Man that we do need to talk about.
And also...
Hold on. It's a very serious thing, so I do need you to listen. So on May 31st, 2014, two 12-year-old girls got sucked into the story of Slender Man and they took it as fact. They attacked and almost killed a classmate after luring her into the woods to try and make an offering to Slender Man. After reading stories, they thought that Slender Man was real and that they had to kill in order to become true followers or proxies of Slender Man. The classmate did survive the attack and crawled out of the forest where she was left. She flagged down a passing bicyclist and she was saved. So the girl who was attacked is alive, but we need to keep this in mind because we never need to let our beliefs and our fears lead us to hurting other people. So as we get increasingly involved in internet folklore, it's important that you have to dialogue with you. It's important to have a dialogue with you and kids and that these stories are creepy and can get dark, but they are just stories and should not be brought into the real world. You can't believe everything you see on the internet, right? We taught you that?
Oh, yeah. You've said it like 10,000 times.
It's a very important thing, because but now do you understand why I say that?
Yeah, because
two girls thought it was real.
Two girls, like, they went insane. They were like, master.
We can't say something like that because, baby, they believed it was real. Oh. So for them, it didn't feel like they were going insane. To them, it felt real. Because maybe their parents didn't have an open dialogue with them and talk about how everything you see on the internet isn't always real. Maybe they didn't have that talk. Or maybe their parents did talk to them about it, but maybe they didn't listen or take it to heart. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So someone got hurt because they didn't know it wasn't real.
They went to the hospital.
Yes, they absolutely did.
Of course.
So that was a very important thing that I need to make sure that you know. And I also needed to make sure that our listeners know.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
Okay. It's a responsible conversation to have. All right. So let's get out of that and let's talk about what these stories. So what are these stories of Slender Man? What is his mythos?
What is mythos?
So mythos is like, what is the like story behind him? Like what is the like facts? Like what's
behind
like
the
mythology? Yeah. Yeah. Behind the scenes. I guess you could say that. It's important to remember that with Slender Man, his stories are all cultivated by the shared community of the internet. So it's because of that, it's ever changing. So here's how that works. Someone writes a really good story, adding a new idea to the ever-changing world of Slender Man. Let's say that he can be distracted by McDonald's Happy Meals. Now, listen though, if enough people like that story and the Happy Meal idea, and then other people use it as a distraction method in their stories, you have just added to the mythos of Slender Man. See how we could have changed, how anybody can change
if only,
it?
If you let me be if you could let me be on the internet, I would have made a very funny comic book with, like, he would be like, hi, I would like to get a Happy Meal.
Hilarious.
And can I please have... Can it please have blood inside the chicken nuggets?
Ew. So the early stories featured him targeting children or young adults. Some people are driven insane or made to act on his behalf, while others do not. And some claim that investigating the Slender Man will draw his attention. So it's already too late, Killian. It's too late for Daddy writing this episode. It's too late for you and me reading this episode. It's even too late for you. Yes, you, our friends listening to this episode. Slender Man knows that we are thinking about him.
It's even too late for Lupin.
Oh no, Lupin is listening to this story. Lupin the dog.
And also the comic book man.
I'm just kidding. Slender Man is not real. So, there is a web series.
Where am I?
Don't do that. That was scary. Don't do that. All right. So there is a web series called Marble Hornets, which establishes the idea of proxies, which are humans who fall under the Slender Man's influence. Though initially they were simply violently insane rather than puppets of Slender Man.
Oh, Oh, yeah, I've told you about this.
Mm-hmm. So Marble Hornets also introduced the idea that Slenderman could interfere with video and audio recordings, as well as the Slenderman symbol, an X in a box or a circle, which became a common trope of the Slender fiction. Many stories revolve around Slenderman having a mansion in the woods that changes its location often, and that there is a whole ritual to summon Slenderman. Graphic violence is uncommon in the Slenderman stories, with many narratives choosing to leave the fate of the victims obscure. Most of the stories never dig into what Slenderman is, where he came from, or even why he wants to do harm. He is a figure of pure evil that wants to spread darkness. So we have an idea of who Slenderman is. We've talked about the dangers of getting sucked into and taking internet stories as truth. So I think now it's time for a story, don't you?
Yes.
Okay. Time for another creepypasta.
Creepypasta.
This one is called A Walk with the Family.
Wow.
Already. Yeah.
Forget it.
Okay. The car rolled off the interstate and into the road. The car rolled off the interstate and onto a road lined with stores and restaurants. We were visiting my grandparents on their little farm on the edge of Foster's, and all I had expected to do with my Saturday was to finish a Minecraft build that I had been working on for weeks, a really cool mansion high in a snowy forest. I sighed and looked out the window, noticing an empty zoo. There were a few semi-trucks unloading large containers and several zoo employees looking nervous about whatever was inside the boxes. One of them had a picture of the continent of Australia. We took another turn and we were almost instantly in the countryside. Long trees canopied over the road and we drove beside a long, deep creek bed to our right. Crossing a small bridge, we pulled into my grandparents' farm. I recognized my aunt's and my uncle's car almost instantly. Apparently, the whole family was here. My aunts stepped out to greet us, and they kissed their daughter, Rhiannon, and sent her out to play. My other cousin, Cole, came out from behind an old truck and looked like he was as thrilled to be there as I was. He kept looking over his shoulder like he was looking for something in the trees, just beyond the house. I stepped out of the car and squinted my eyes to try and see what he was looking at. The forest trail my grandfather kept for hunting seemed darker than normal, like a patch of night was resting there. I rubbed my eyes and blinked a few times. Looking again, the trail was just as sunny and open as everywhere else. My parents were already walking up to the house and talking to my aunts. They would be inside playing cards for the next couple of hours, and the kids were left out here to our own devices. Cole strolled up to me as Rhiannon was already running over. He had a small knife and was whittling something out of a piece of wood. "Sup," he said, not looking up from his carving. Rhiannon bounded over, excited as always. "So, what are we doing? We have a few hours before dinner." I shrugged. I didn't care what we did, but I noticed that Cole looked up for the first time and looked back at the trail. "You know," Cole said, his voice trailing off for a moment as he chose his words carefully. "It's been a long time since we've gone on a cousin walk down the trail. Why don't we do that?" Rhiannon slapped me on the back and shouted, "Race ya," as she charged for the trailhead. I looked at Cole and realized he had heavy, dark bags under his eyes. He followed Rhiannon before I could ask if he was tired. I looked back towards the house and heard the laughter of all of our parents. "You coming?" Rhiannon goaded from the trees, her arms held up in a V for victory pose. She did a few air punches and kicks to add to her celebration. I jogged on, watching Cole enter the forest ahead of us, his head back down and his hands working on the carving again. Rhiannon slid her arm through mine as we followed Cole down the well-worn trail. We were careful to step over the tree roots that always seemed to reach up for us out of the dirt. Since Rhiannon lived in Foster's, she filled me in on the local nonsense. Apparently, the old amusement park we used to go to was going to be shut down. Something about an accident? The hand that gently touched my neck surprised me enough that I turned and screamed, almost throwing Rhiannon down to the ground. Cole turned to face us, cussing as he sliced his finger, red blood quickly dripping onto his carving and into the dirt. What happened? Rhiannon questioned, looking up at me as she gained her composure. Someone touched me, I said, looking at the empty trail behind us. There is nothing here, Cole said, closing his knife and putting it in his pocket. He put the bloodied figure away, but I could make out that it looked like a little person before it disappeared. He held his hand and put pressure on the cut. The sound of static filled the air. Did you finish my carving? Rhiannon asked Cole as she left my side for him. Cole froze, looking behind me as Rhiannon snapped her fingers. Cole's whole face and body went slack, like he was a robot that had just been powered off. I could feel the hairs on the back of my neck sticking up. Everything in my body was telling me to run. Cole, I blurted out, the sound of static growing so loud the trees started to shake. I tried to move but couldn't. The roots had covered my feet and my ankles, locking me in place. Wait, they weren't roots. They were black tentacles. I started to scream for my parents, but we were too far out. Rhiannon reached into Cole's pocket and pulled out the tiny figure smeared with blood. I forgot to mention the other thing that happened in this town since I last saw you, Rhiannon said, turning to face me, a wicked smile painted on her lips. I made a new friend. A tall shadow washed over me and I felt an icy chill. Someone who always has time to play with me, as long as I bring new friends, she giggled. I had this made for you, Rhiannon said, holding out the carved figure. An impossibly long black arm reached out over my shoulder, and white-gloved hands gripped around the figure. Cole was the first puppet my friend helped me make, Rhiannon said, picking up Cole's lifeless arm and dropping it. Watching it fall like a rag doll made her giggle. He never liked playing with me before, but now, thanks to my friend, he does whatever I want him to. And you will too, she said, looking back at me, her head tilted in a menacing way. Okay, friend, do your thing. And that was the last thing I heard before the tendrils engulfed me completely. The end. What did you think? I think it was good, judging by Killian's slightly scared face. Tell me what... I guess you thought it was scary. Okay. Use your words. Did you think it was scary?
Scary story that Daddy ever made.
Oh, okay. Sure. But remember...
Slenderman is gonna turn you all into puppets.
But remember, what's the most important thing? Slenderman is... Not real. So that was Slenderman. So I guess you thought the story was very scary. Who did you think the bad guy was going to be?
Slenderman.
But who was actually the bad guy?
I forgot her name.
Rhiannon. Yeah. Which, fun fact, was one of the names we had picked out for you if you were a girl.
What?
Yeah. Wait. Well, let's say a huge thank you to our friend Hendrix for suggesting the internet famous Slenderman.
A1.
Oh, A1.
Daddy, mm-hmm. You should win an Oscar for those stories.
Oh, an Thank Oscar.
Okay. I appreciate that. What's number two?
B.
B, two.
You are a very good podcaster.
Thank you. It's almost like I do it for a living.
And C.
C.
I am scared to death.
Do you also want to say maybe D? Thank you to Hendrix. D.
Thank you to Hendrix.
So, thank you for listening. I'm Karina.
I'm Killian.
And this has been the Cryptid Catalog.
Slenderman calls you.
Until next time, remember...
The Cryptids are watching.
Thank you for listening to the Cryptid Catalog. This show is hosted by Karina and Killian Beemisterfer. Written, researched, and edited by Dylan Beemisterfer. And the music was created and performed by Will Shelton. Grownups, if you would like to help support the show, please take a second to finish out the episode and listen to some ads.